Well, it's time for the Crime Report. It's sponsored by the Crime Stoppers, Sylvia County, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. That's where all calls are kept anonymous. And a monetary reward of up to $5,000 issued for information leading to an arrest. Joe Jacklone, the retired sergeant, NYPD, a former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay College. And an author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function of Avenue Investigators, edition number 3, also in his day, a highly decorated member of the NYPD, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor. And we say a very good morning to the Sarge. Joseph, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
All is good. Busy week. Inauguration day. Just had minimal security, you would say, right? Wow. Unbelievable. Sure. 25,000. Yeah, 25,000 plus National Guardsmen. You had U.S. Marshals there. Finally, the Capitol Police Department in the Capitol woke up and decided to show up. And, you know, I would say when the president elect, then president took the oath, I say it was probably one of the more secure places on the planet.
Yes, I mean, you know, this just goes to show you what planning and preparation can do. I mean, this is something where you hope that they learn from their mistakes and we're going forward. I mean, this is a lesson for all the police departments out there, though, that something like this can happen just about anywhere. And you're better off over-preparing than under-preparing, that's for sure.
Yeah, and how about the thanks the thanks for those troops vanished. Did you see that? To a cramped parking garage. I don't know what in the heck. I guess they were told they no longer have access as far as the complex was concerned, including the office of the Senate and everything else. But what a job. You know, good job. They vetted it. You know, the FBI had a vet. And they got rid of at least a dozen or so, Joe. You know, that had to be a tough job in itself. You know, you're vetting all of those troops to make sure that they didn't have any checkered type pass, you know, comments, media, social media sites, you know, anything that would signal any type of red flag. They had to do that in just days, you know. That was a pretty good job.
No, I mean, it's actually kind of amazing, right, that you had so few out of that whole group. But here's my question. The ones that they did find, you know, they really didn't get into exactly what they found about them. And my question is that, what about the vetting process before we, you know, swear in people to be a troop? You know, that's the kind of thing. I mean, they just don't start this kind of behavior. Usually there is a long period or a long history of behavior and speech about this. So it's just something, to, you know, that they need to look at in their recruitment and selection process.
No doubt about it. By the way, did you see the video? I was watching a video this morning before the show started regarding the violence. And there has been some violence out in Oregon the last couple of days. Now it's in Seattle, Denver. I saw a video of, you know, you have the protesters out, you know, people that just hate our country. It's unbelievable. And nobody's really saying anything on this. You know, you're not getting any reporting on this of the major networks. It is unbelievable. And I'm talking extreme violence, you know, at headquarters of some of these political parties. No one is saying a word on this. It is unbelievable to me. Where is it then? I mean, I don't want to get too political on the segment, but it just, you know, it just baffles me that nobody is really saying anything on this stuff. Antifa at it again, out west. Unbelievable. I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah, no, I caught it. They actually attacked the Democratic, you know, place that they go to. I mean, it's absolutely insane there. They're spray painting Biden's name all over things now. You know, this group of people are anarchists. They don't prescribe to any group, Republicans or Democrats. And you know, it is what it is. I mean, you got that Ted Wheeler out in Portland. I mean, they ran him out of his own house, and it's absolute insanity what's going on there. And if it wasn't for people who are actually risking their lives filming this and putting it on the internet, like you said, we wouldn't even hear about it. But they're like burning half the cities to the ground out there, This is, remember in Seattle, they had the famous chop zone, right, where they just took over blocks at a time and police precincts and all that. I mean, that got some media, and then you had the couple of homicides that transpired in it, and the whole, what a mess out there. I tell you, people are probably fleeing those cities left and right.
Yeah, remember that? The Summer of Love, Janice Durkin, the mayor of Seattle, Ted Wheeler, you mentioned, Kay Brown, the governor of Oregon. What a disgrace. Jay Inslee, even more so. Jay Inslee is like, he could be the worst governor in the country in the state of Washington. That's how bad he is and how he's handled things. And believe me, Jared Solis, you know, he's nothing special either as far as the governor of Colorado. I mean, it is unbelievable. I mean, you got three winners out there, and that's what you're seeing right now in those states. Incredible stuff. Joe Jacalone, the crime report. Joe, let's move to the NYPD, the New York City Police Department, the Civilian Complaint Review Board. I guess they've agreed to use some sort of a matrix now to govern how police officers found guilty of misconduct will be punished. I guess it's the latest in the effort to increase and bring some transparency in policing. You know, they're so hell-bent on making sure that they discipline the people that protect us in ways that, you know, I think they look for things to, you know, put the illness on police and how they go about their daily operations. It's amazing. You know, it's even, you know, you look at the Attorney General, Letitia James, you know, what a joke she has become, citing that how officers conduct themselves, especially during, I noticed during the protests, there was some protests going on regarding the Martin Luther King Day celebration. And 11 police officers, by the way, were hurt in that melee, 29 people arrested. But we're going to cite how police officers treat would-be individuals who create the activity that is not the proper way to go about your business, especially when it comes to a protest. It's amazing how things kind of turn around here, huh?
Well, yeah, I know, exactly. And I'm glad that the NYPD is actually videotaping themselves, and they're doing this, and they're actually putting out the the graffiti and the broken windows and everything else that's going on in these protests, because if you read the newspaper, you know, it's just one of those peaceful protests that the cops just crashed this party. You know, everybody was sitting around doing nothing, and the cops just crashed this party. They said 11 cops got hospitalized. So, somebody's not telling the truth, right? So we need to figure out what's going on. So the NYPD is videotaping what's going on, and I think they're going to start releasing a lot of different tapes about exactly what transpired to try to, you know, correct this narrative out there that they're the aggressive ones. I mean, listen, taking the Brooklyn Bridge is not a peaceful demonstration. It's just not. So I don't understand where people get this definition of peaceful demonstration. Yeah, if you're not doing anything per se, you could stand on the street corner, you can stand on the sidewalk, but that's basically where it ends. As soon as you step out into the street, it is no longer peaceful. You're obstructing pedestrian traffic, vehicle traffic. I mean, you're taking over the Brooklyn Bridge, main artery in and out of New York City. It is a great inconvenience and also becomes a liability. If there's an ambulance has to come from another borough, it's just one of those things that people aren't using their heads.
You know, banning chokeholds, but it's okay for a perpetrator to put a cop in a chokehold is what we had seen many months ago, if you remember that whole deal. And, you know, the Letitia James, I can't stomach her anymore. I really can't. I can't take her seriously anymore, you know, because she's basically telling everyone she is on the side of the anarchists. I mean, Joe, that's it. I mean, what else can you say? She's on the side of those who throw bottles and Molotov cocktails at cops. You know, because, you know, her claim is that officers use excessive force to a destructive Black Lives Matter demonstration the night of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I mean, it's unbelievable. That was Monday night. I mean, it's incredible. It really is. What kind of a message are you sending here? Jeez, I can't figure this one out. I really can't. But you know what? It is what it is. But Letitia James just continues to baffle me. That's all I could really make out of this thing. Can't figure it out. All right, let's move on. Joe, a horrific story in Brooklyn where you had an individual who committed three murders the alleged murders, and now in custody. It goes back from 2015 to current. But this one is really a horrific situation, and they cuffed him and got him in custody now. Tough one there, Joe.
Yeah, no, it was actually my old precinct they worked in, the 7-3 precinct in Brownsville. They, you know, basically had a serial killer on their hands. They arrested this guy, Kevin Gavin, and the weird part of it is that his brother lived in these developments, and he stayed with him, and, you know, these are the kind of things that I guess eventually they really didn't get into how they caught him, whether it's through DNA or through maybe the brother or somebody gave him up. But something exactly happened here. They had, you know, one of the persons was stabbed, whatever. So they possibly, I'm leaning towards the DNA angle of this, and he might have had a record, and that's why the DNA comes up so quickly. But yeah, over a couple of years, three elderly women have been murdered brutally in this housing development. So, you know, it's, you know, you kind of scratch your head and you say to yourself, like, How do people, you know, do this to other people? And it's just one of those things. I mean, he is considered, you know, according to the definition by the FBI, he is a serial killer. And they have to look at every place where this guy has lived now and to see if there's any other cases that are similar, because these three might not be his only ones.
Ages 82, 83, 78, the victims. It was, as Joe said, at a facility, a senior housing facility. And apparently, Gavin would befriend these individuals, run some errands for them, and then there was some issues over money, and then he killed them. I mean, it terrorized so many people with these murders unsolved. And finally, thank goodness, I guess there was some forensic evidence involved, and, you know, no elaboration there, but they got the guy, and that is a really horrific story there. So, Kevin Gavin in custody there. Joe Jack on the crime report. Joe, let's move on to the postings, excuse me, at a Valley Stream train station, the LIRR station there, and you have materials and everything else. White supremacist type postings, and we've seen this before, right? We've seen anti-Semitic stuff going on in and around, especially in the Five Towns, Cedarhurst, that type of thing. Here in Valley Stream, though, now the investigation is ongoing, sir.
Yeah, no, I mean, like you said, this is the first time that we've seen something like this. They're investigating it as a hate crime, and most, if not all, of these areas have surveillance video. So there's a good possibility that they have, you know, something. Because remember, now everybody's wearing a mask and everything else, so it makes it more difficult. But this is where Crime Stoppers can also come in handy. Anybody knows who did this, this is how you pick up the phone and help out. You know, we're never going to understand why people do this stuff, Jay. And it's just... just one thing after another, and it's just there's no place for it. That's for sure.
No question about it. Speaking of the train station, you have a Long Island Railroad worker suspended now under investigation for his alleged role in the Capitol riot from January the 6th. So the chairman, Pat Foy, has called out the conductor. He's an assistant conductor. Stephen Rosati, his name is. And, you know, listen, all these guys, you know, that did what they did, breaking into a restricted building, governmental building, obviously, in the Capitol. I mean, come on. There is so much surveillance, so many photos, social media, my goodness. It wasn't a tough investigation to round up all these morons, you know? I mean, you know, there's plenty of photos of Stephen Rosati there showing him inside that Capitol building on January the 6th, and thus he is under investigation for his role, Joe. Lots of guys like this. We saw an FDNY guy, Thomas Fee, out of Freeport, right? He brought into custody now. So, and by the way, bail's not just set at a few shekels here, folks. You know, they got these guys, six figures. You know, this is a capital crime here, you know? So serious stuff here for Stephen Rosati, Joe.
Well, no, absolutely. And they also, according to the Post, they had his social media posts that were very disturbing. I mean, he's, you know, this is where, you know, if they really want to help you know, unify America, right? You know, all the politicians, all the people in power. I have a suggestion for them, and that's to dump the social media, the Twitter, the Facebook, right? Because this uncivil discourse is what is making people, like, lose their minds and to say things and do things that they normally wouldn't have done otherwise, because they just get bombarded with all these images and lies and nonsense on the internet. And, you know, you remember those days, Jay, right, without social media, how things were? It's not like this. It's absolute insanity what's going on.
It really is. I mean, you know, you could be implicated in 5 seconds because there's just so much material now, but, you know, it is what it is. And as a matter of fact, you have a carpenter, you know, from Connecticut, who's, you know, another one of these guys. You know, there's just so many of these guys now that have been cited, you know, from what happened a couple of weeks ago. It's amazing. It really is. Joe Jacklow on the Crime Report. Let's move on. Midweek, you know, gut-wrenching story regarding a drunk driver. Joe, I'm sure you read this one. I believe the guy was out of Locust Valley, as I get to it, but this was a situation of a family grieving for yet another loved one lost to drunken driving. A judge sentencing this guy, Locust Valley guy, for causing the death of a retired NYPD detective years after the victim's son actually perished in a wreck. This 85-year-old Dennis Motherway of Bayville was heading to a hospital in an ambulance, and that's when this Alvaro Gutierrez Garcias, driving a sedan, struck this vehicle, made it overturn. There was a blood alcohol content from Garcia measured, I believe it was 0.22, way over the 0.08, obviously. And, you know, you got another one of these deals where this 85-year-old died about a decade after his son. A 35-year-old lost his life in an East Rockaway crash because of a drunken driver who then went to prison for manslaughter. So it's terrible. Really is a terrible story here, but a lot of grieving going on here.
And you kind of like, you shake your head when you see the 2.02. You know, that's like, you're talking borderline unconscious now. And you know what? Wherever he was, they should be looking into that place, whether it was at a bar with their friends. Like, nobody saw that this guy was severely intoxicated and say, hey, listen, you can't drive. I mean, folks, that's what you have to do. If you haven't, or you're at a party, you're at a bar. I know probably none of us have been in any of those places because of COVID. But when this all starts again, I just hope that we don't see a huge spike in these DWI crashes. You know, we have to use our heads. You don't drink and drive. It's just, you know, it's one of those mantras that, and people still do it, and you just kind of shake your head and like, what are we doing here?
Indeed. One more for you, Joe. That is detectives investigating the death of a woman found in an apartment in Huntington. That was Monday. It was following a wellness check that was requested by the landlord. I hadn't seen that individual in several days. And it's an ongoing investigation, and it's suspicious as far as the scene is concerned. Do we know anything more? I know we have an identification made, but nothing more from what I read, sir.
Yeah, the only thing that the police are saying now is for this 47-year-old is that the event was criminal in nature. That's the only thing they have led on. They haven't led on how she was killed. So it's going to be one of those, you know, another mystery where we don't hear anything until the arrest. You watch, like, you know, the couple of days that come up with the arrest, which is, it's just good in a way, because I think that means that they have an idea who's responsible, and they don't want to spook them and, you know, put them on the run and then have to, you know, try to locate them that way. So I guarantee you by next Friday we'll have an answer to this one.
The Crime Report brought to you by the Suffolk Crime Stoppers, folks. 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. It's where all calls are kept confidential, and a reward of up to $5,000 in place for info that would lead to an arrest. Sir, you have a very good week. Stay safe, and we look forward to next Friday with you. How's that?
You too. Have a great weekend.